welcome once again, friends, to another broadcast of Sold Out for Jesus. This is Pastor Paul Tabano of Harvest Church in Clifton Park, New York, and I'm so glad you have decided to share this time with us. I pray today's program will be life-changing as you listen to the uncompromised Word of God. Now let's join a service already in progress.
When we talk about Christmas and we talk about the Christmas story, it's not just about Jesus being born as a baby. God himself came in the form of a man. He always was. He did not appear just as a baby and say, oh, here's Jesus, God the Father, as a baby. He always was, but he stepped out of eternity into time. You know there's a difference between time and eternity because Adam and Eve were living in an eternal state. They would have lived that way forever. We would have joined them somewhere. But sin stepped in, time stepped in, and things began to change. Now, if you don't mind, turn over to Hebrews 4:14 just for a moment. I'll read some of it for you. It's in the King James. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son, let us hold fast our profession. Now, how many of you know what the word profession means? It means our confession. What are we confessing? We're confessing that what? Jesus is Lord, that he was born. Now listen to me. The Christmas story doesn't end because he was born. It doesn't end because he died. It doesn't end because he rose from the dead. It ends when Jesus finally makes his way into heaven and becomes our high priest of our confession. Say our high priest. You see, if I could say it this way, the Christmas story is really four parts. He was born. He died. He rose again, and now his rightful place is in heaven, sitting at the right hand of the Father, interceding for you and I. That's what the scripture says. What's he doing right now? He's interceding for who? For you and for me. Amen. Now let's take a look at another scripture, Philippians chapter 4, verse 7. Let's read the other verses in front of it. I want you to see something because I see the world is struggling to find peace. Jesus said in the last days, men will cry, what? Peace, peace. There is no peace. There'll be wars and rumors of wars. Am I correct? There is no peace. People cry for peace and there's what? There is no peace. But I got news for you. There is peace. Don't listen to all that. I'm telling you peace is here because one of the names of Jesus is he's peace. He's my peace. Remember we've talked about many times, there's the peace with God that comes when you and I ask Christ in our life. But on a daily basis, say a daily basis, I need peace. And that's the peace of God. So listen to this real quick. Philippians 4, 7. And then King James says this. And the peace of God, which passes all, say when they all understanding, shall do what? Guard your heart and minds through Christ Jesus. Now listen to this, because this word guard is literally a military term. It's as if they posted guards outside of a building to protect it. You and I have the guard of the Holy Ghost. We've got the Word of God standing guard over us. And they're not going to let any turmoil come our way. Now listen, if we can back up from the seventh verse and go up a little bit, can we do that? Well, what's this peace for? Let's take a good look at it. Look at verse number 6, if you don't mind. Don't fret or have any anxiety about anything. There's more anxiety medication given today than ever before. Why? People are anxious about so many things when the Bible says, if you'll take this pill, you won't need that pill. There are no side effects with the Word of God. Every time one of these commercials is gone with a green pill, an orange pill, a blue pill, polka dot pill, I turn off the sound or change it because there's more side effects. And it seems like the last one is always, they save this one for you, the last one is always death. Why would I want to take something that could cause death, cause more turmoil in my life, when I can take the gospel, I can take the word of God, speak it out of my mouth, and begin to confess it and see God's results, which doesn't result in death because I'm already dead. Pastor, weren't you ever anxious in your life before? Are you kidding me? If I told you the turmoils I have been through, the anxiety that's come on me in my life, just like so many other people do, but I found out that my anxiety was involved with my thinking. I had wrong thinking going on, and it caused anxiety in my life. And then I realized if I would change my words, if I would change my thinking, anxiety would have to run scared. And then the peace of God showed up. How many of you ever had anxiety moments, anxiousness in your life? Doesn't have to be. The first sign of something coming that may cause a problem or anxiety, here's what you do. Begin to say what the Word of God says. Say Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Let's read it together. Are you ready? Don't fret or have anxiety about. Now, anything is one of those words I looked up, and it's a powerful word. Write this down. Anything. I just gave you the definition. An anything is you don't have enough money to pay your bills. That's an anything. I got a bad report from the doctor. That's an anything. I got a pink slip at work. That's an anything. There are many anythings that we'll run across on a daily basis. But the Bible says what? Can we read it again? See, I'm so hooked. I'm like I got a pair of cement shoes in the Word of God. I'm not moving to get something else to try it on. Listen to it again. Don't fret or have anxiety about anything. But it doesn't leave us there. What does it say? But in everything. So we got an anything and an everything. If you put them together, you got a good sandwich going on. Ready? Anything, but in every circumstance and in everything. What does that mean? It encompasses everything in life you and I will ever experience. But here he gives us a solution. What's the solution? Say prayer. What's prayer? Prayer is talking to God. Say anything. By prayer and petition. What does the word petition mean? Requests. But say with me, definite requests. Say definite. Father, I need more money. That's not a definite request. I'm looking for a husband or wife. That's not a definite request. I'm looking for a new job. That's not a definite request. What's a definite request? Be not pacific, specific. Say specific. So, financial need. You have a financial need. How would you be specific about it? Which bill do you have? Your mortgage payment. So you got to pay it. That's specific. There's a certain amount. Am I correct? You're looking for a husband or a wife. Don't just say you're looking for a man or a woman to marry you. And don't go by the world specs. Handsome, lots of money. Because the first thing you should be looking for, is that a spirit-filled man? Is that a spirit-filled woman? See, we ask for the wrong things first. We ought to ask for the way God asks. All the other stuff will find and seek their own level. When people say financially they're in a financial dilemma, I ask them, do you follow stewardship principles? Sometimes I get no. I said, that's a good starting point. Good stewardship principles. Because what gets us many times into financial difficulties is we do not have good stewardship principles. How many know what stewardship principles are? Your time, your talent, and your treasures. See, everybody's afraid that God will take too much of what they have. When you and I pass on into the heavenlies, we're not taking anything that we've held on to here. Jesus said, if you keep your life, you're going to lose it. But if you lose it, you're going to what? You're going to find it. Amen? My finances don't belong to me. My wife's and mine together don't belong to us. They belong unto the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm telling you, this isn't a, if you really feel the led of the Lord, fold a dollar bill up, start there, and give it away. Then when you find out, this is fun, put $2 in, and then $3, then $5, then $10. I met this couple that feeds people. They fed 148 for Thanksgiving. They take their pension money, buy food, and feed the people. So the Holy Spirit says, give them something. This is for you and your wife. Either take her out to dinner or put it towards your next meal. They started crying on me. See, every one of us here has it. There's no such thing as you can't. Either forgot about it or you just don't want to do it. If you will do what I'm telling you to do, God's supernatural blessing will explode on you. But I like being able to stand behind somebody in line who doesn't have enough money and get, here, I'll pay for it. Oh, man, how many of you ever done that one? How many have some money you could have put in your wallet or pocketbook? Anybody? And then as the Spirit of God speaks to you, give it out. Don't ever use this language, I can't afford to. Because when you say that out of your mouth, you're putting yourself in a place of poverty rather than blessing. You always have it. Say, I always have it. Now, why is your hand up? You just blessing God? She carries gift cards with her and gives them out because cash they'll spend on things they're not supposed to. How many of you would buy a gift card to give out? They don't sell them for a dollar, you know. Say gift cards. I'm going to loosen some of you up yet. Go like this. I'm going to do it. Glory to God. Now, understand something, that Jesus is the best giver you have. I had pastors over the years tell me, do you know who your best givers are? I said, no, I know who my best one is. They said, who? I said, Jesus. I know pastors that know how much their top 10 givers give. And then when they need something, they go to them. You know who my best giver is? Jesus. You know, do I go to when I have a need? I go right to Jesus. Because the Bible says, he shall supply all my needs according to his riches in glory. But you involve people to give to you because you know, quote, they have the ability or the access to funds, you're making a huge mistake. Because James says, don't put the people who have much in the front, people that don't have much underneath the chairs in the back. You put everybody on the same playing field and you say, God, speak to somebody, do what they're supposed to do. Amen. Can we go a little bit further here now? So what are you supposed to do? By prayer and petition means definite request. Say definite. What's definite mean? Put some meat on the bones. Definite request. Now listen to me. When I prayed for people many times to get jobs, I said, how much you need to make? Well, how much do you need to make? It sounds like that the father in a Peanuts thing. People are afraid to say how much because they think they're beneath what they believe God could. Are you kidding me? If you need a job and you need so much money to live, say how much it is. Because when you say it, you're putting words out into the atmosphere that God can grab a hold of and he can reproduce what you need. Glory to God. Hallelujah. That's how you pray. If you need a vehicle, say, God, I need a vehicle. I need something to drive around in. Don't take the first thing that comes along. He's got a special vehicle for you. Glory to God. Hallelujah. What are we supposed to do? With, say, thanksgiving. This is the most difficult thing for people to do, me included, is to make my request known to God because something called impatience steps in. If God doesn't answer as soon as we come out of our mouth, we become impatient. But what's one of the gifts of this, the fruit rather of the Spirit? Say patience. Continue to make your wants known to God. We're confessing out of our mouth. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Whatever it may be, we thank you, we thank you, we thank you. Listen, my wife and I have prayed through some hectic storms in our life. And it didn't come the next day or the next day. Sometimes it took months, sometimes it took years. But I'm here to tell you that Jesus, when you and I pray the first time, here's what we say. The Bible says, we shared it a couple of Wednesdays ago, that he actually makes monuments in heaven around our prayer requests, and they go out into the atmosphere and they're still going on. Whatever you say is still working out there. Stay still working.
This is Pastor Carolyn Tabano. I hope you've enjoyed today's broadcast of Sold Out for Jesus. If today's program has encouraged you and you would like to become a partner with this ministry, please send all correspondence and financial contributions to Harvest Church, 303 Grooms Road, Clifton Park, New York, 12065. If you'd like to download today's message and view our complete media library, or if you'd like to know more about this ministry, you can find us at soldoutforjesus.com. Until next time, remember that you too can be sold out for Jesus because Jesus is alive. Jesus is alive.